Hello, my beautiful listeners. I have a very exciting announcement to make. I have just started a Patreon. That's right. Now we can dive deeper into our creative process of awakening together, with early access to episodes, bonus episodes, monthly live discussions with a guided meditation. But mainly, I want to create a space where my day ones can show their appreciation. So go to patreon.com/opwar to become a member. That's patreon.com/opwar and become a member today. Welcome to Opening Presents, the podcast about creative self-realization. My name is Aaron Robinson. Thank you so much for joining me. In today's episode, I sit down with Rebecca Sunshine, but you can call her Sunny. She's a yoga, meditation, and dance instructor, teaching us all the art of embodiment through facilitating experiences that emphasize the mind-body connection. In this conversation, we talk about how a silent meditation retreat inspired Sunny to explore movement, the power of dance as a path to liberation, and the beauty and compounding health benefits of simply going on a walk. If you enjoy this episode, make sure to share it with a friend. Now, without further ado, welcome to Opening Presents. Here we go. Welcome to Opening Presents. My name is Aaron Robinson. Thank you so much for joining us today in beautiful Laurelhurst Park on a chilly, chilly, right before summer, because summer hasn't started yet, apparently, afternoon. I am joined by Rebecca Sunshine, but for this conversation, and when you see her out in the streets, you will call her Sunny.
What's up?
We finally made it.
We found a spot away from the leaf blower.
Yeah, we got away from the leaf blower in the traffic, the Cesar Chavez traffic, but now we're amongst perros.
So green. The birds are singing.
Yeah, no, this is definitely like the spot. Like I'm very happy with this move. And
this
not second
long
guessing.
Table. We're waiting for all of you. It's like we're waiting for our friends.
Yeah, we're waiting. We ordered pizzas. Come on down, guys. We ordered pizzas.
They might still be here when you listen to this.
Yeah, no, this is definitely a beautiful opening and the light shining down on us really nicely, even though it is overcast. But we're kind of like in like a snow globe with no snow.
Yeah. A lot of grass.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
Yeah, but thanks for having me.
Yeah, thanks for being so nice. Here, and I'm glad that we finally got to do this. It's like, where do we want to start with this? I think I want to learn more about you and where you came from, because we became introduced to one another through meditation, mindfulness, Instagram, and you just showing up to one of... actually, I think the first time I saw you was at Best Friend... that circle, Lads Park circle thing. Did you lead something there?
No, I don't think so.
No, you didn't? Okay, maybe that was somebody else.
Yeah. But I think I first met you in person on Belmont. Was that which park was that when you hosted the
meditation
circle?
So that was, you showed up to that and amazingly like started us off with like a movement, which is, I feel like is just like needed. And it adds like a dimension to like the meditation to where people get time to kind of like settle into themselves before they sit. Cause especially like when people show up to a meditation in the park or something like that, like they're already like starting off in their head and they were conceptualizing it and kind of forget that they had a body until you like guided us in like our movement. And then even through the movement, you kind of start paying attention to your breath, and it's a great preface to a seated practice.
Yeah, it's an awesome way to bring the mind back into the body before you sit with the mind. in stillness and yeah, body mind centering. It's helpful for sure.
Yeah.
And that was so fun because you were like, Sunny, want to lead us through movement? I'm like always down for,
yeah.
for that kind of stuff. So that was appreciated. And the people there were really lovely too.
Yeah. Every single time, anytime anyone like takes it upon themselves to like show up to something, whether it's free or paid or whatever, but it's like for them,
mm-hmm.
I think that's something to kind of celebrate because it's like, yo, you did this for yourself. Like that's the best thing in the world to like cheer someone on in their own journey. Because if you're on it yourself, it's like you realize like what type of commitment it takes to embark on the mission and in your own journey, and just one step in investing just one day, 1 hour, even like one thought mm-hmm. like into like the well to create a sustainable, optimal like future for yourself. It's like, yo, like you deserve a pat on the back for orienting yourself towards growth.
Yeah. And we need each other along, you know, in this life. We need the people cheering us on, and the ones we need to be the ones supporting people sometimes. And it's, you feel less alone. I think I was talking about this with a friend recently about how meditation appears to be this like very lonely, solitary practice because you're on your own. And even if you go to meditation retreats, they're like silent retreats oftentimes. And it is very much about the inner knowing and the deep listening. But it's also like a huge part of that is the Sangha, is the community. And, I think it's really nice to, even when sitting in stillness with your eyes closed, to know that there are people there with you. Like
mm-hmm.
that energy is so, the energy carries me personally. Community is what I'm all about too. So,
mm-hmm. yeah, I can live in that space. Like whenever mm-hmm. like I'm done leading something, whether virtual or in real life, I'm like, yo, like I just want to do this all day, every day. Like where is everybody? Like, can we get this thing rolling and like trying to turn it into a business, or making it a business is a whole different animal. But whenever like we re-enter the space after meditation and just being grateful, and I'm just like, oh my gosh, like this is it. Like I don't need anything else other than doing this.
Mm.
And I recorded a podcast yesterday, and we're talking about how connection is the high.
Mm.
Like when we really, really connect and get out of the way, letting go of the stories and the narratives, and just allowing ourselves to be with one another. And I was like, oh, like that's very fulfilling. We don't need any extra queso on top.
it tastes good as it is. Right?
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, I mean, making connections is the best feeling. I love it too. I love making connections with people myself. I love connecting other people,
mm-hmm.
Making connections in the brain. That's why I love movement, like keeping things new and novel and then coming back to old, you know, old things that still serve you, because it's getting... there are more connections in the brain, more neural pathways being created. It's just mm-hmm. like, it's healthy for mind, body, soul. It's good.
Yeah.
You don't even need the queso. I mean,
no, even though I do like cheese. Cheese is great.
I like cheese. I don't know that it likes me that much, but.
But yeah, we will dive into more movement, but I want to talk about like where your practice began and what that journey of coming into self and realizing that you had a lot of power when it came to shaping your perspective and your well-being?
Hmm. Well, the practice for me, I think it's as soon as I knew what my last name was. My last name is Sunshine. There was like something.
It's your real last
name?
Yeah,
it's my real last name.
No shit.
Yeah. It was translated from German, Sonnenschein. Uh-huh. That side of the family came from Austria.
Uh-huh.
And so when I realized at a very young age that like my last name was Sunshine, because everyone would always sing to me, you know, you are my sunshine, or comment on like, oh my God, that's the coolest thing. For me, it's like, that's my name. But then I realized like, okay, like that's my name. And it was always like this, like I always worked to live up to my name.
Mm.
And because I felt like it was my calling, and it was just like how, like bringing light to like what I'm experiencing and feeling, and bringing light to other people, helping them turn on that light for themselves. and even the most ordinary moments. And so that, like, that I remember, that awareness came, like, from a really young age. And then movement started very young because I've been dancing since before I could walk, my mom always said. So, like, I was always very embodied, and probably took it for granted for a very long time. And then I connected the two, like, the awareness with the movement when, actually, after my first Vipassana 10-day silent retreat, that was back in 2014, I think, when I was living in Germany. And from there, they, like, kind of encourage you not to stretch. It's like, just, you're sitting all day in meditation. You can walk, and you can walk and meditate, but, like, don't do any, like, too much stretching to take away from the work that you've done, which, you know, that's their style. And so then after that, I realized, like, how much my body was missing movement, and just having this new, like, this heightened awareness and this, I don't know, developing consciousness, I realized, okay, like, I want to combine the two. I want to dig deeper into the roots of this practice. And I'd already taken some yoga classes, like, you know, in college and stuff, but it was for primarily for fitness, fitness flexibility reasons, which is, like, the number one reason most people turn to yoga. And then I found Dynamic Mindfulness, a school in Berlin, which was very much a 200-hour yoga teacher training, but the teacher herself came from the Chan Buddhist lineage, so there was a lot of Buddhist teaching and a lot of talking about how both practices, like, rooted around the same time, like, a few millennia ago now, in China and India. And so, like, that, like, just learning more of the stories and just starting to connect, like, what I'm feeling in my body without judging it, and just, like, listening, and, like, that deep listening I've been able to continue to cultivate. And it's just allowed me to listen into my intuition more, to trust myself, to trust my body, to love my body, to be more compassionate towards others. So that's kind of, like, the broad overview. And then, I mean, since that first training, I've done hundreds of hours of other of other stuff. And, like, currently I'm in massage therapy school because body work has always been a big part of the work, the my practice, and how I work with my private clients. And even it was something I did in group classes pre-COVID. But now, yeah, now I, like, am back in the States where everybody, you know, like, you have to have a license for everything or else somebody's going to sue you and liability and this shit and that shit. So I'm like, but I also love learning. So I'm like, I'm just going to go to massage therapy school because I've realized that, like, I do have this gift that, like, I want to incorporate more in my work and also learn more about. So, yeah.
Thank you. As people, as we become, like, more embodied, I guess, like, once you kind of link the mindfulness and the movement and the bodily awareness, like, how would you say that, like, the body started communicating with you, and, like, what are those connections, like, I guess, like, the beginning of, like, what those connections are, maybe, like, a new way of interpreting, like, how the body's communicating to you, because it could be clamoring, and it's just, like, you don't have, like, the receiver to understand what the body is telling you, or generally, like, what are things that people, at least in the Western world, aren't really tuning into as far as mind-body connection?
Well, what the way that the body perceives stimuli, like, both inner and outer, is through sensation. So because we're in the United States, I'll generalize for our country and say that most people are dissociated from their bodies because of stress, because of these unrealistic demands that are put on us, and trauma, and the list goes on. So I think what happens is we'll feel a sensation or something new, and we'll either immediately classify it as, or label it as pain, or label it as something, and then run away from it. But so much of healing and this mind-body centering and awareness comes down to feeling, which is why I was really called to somatic restorative yoga work, and that's something I studied in 2017 with Atika in Norway. She's incredible. She founded Yoga Somatics. And so she opened my eyes to, like, the importance of really slowing down and feeling. And feeling sensation, honoring sensations, whether they're pleasant or unpleasant, and understanding what that could mean. And I think we so often think about what we're feeling, but if we can feel without thinking about feeling, we get used to having this reference point and like, okay, my body is feeling this way. I'm noticing these sensations in my head and my feet and this and that and my gut, and like just starting to listen into those, maybe not having exact words or thoughts for them, but like for me, if I eat something, I have a lot of food allergies and intolerance, like connecting the dots, like that's something that's as simple as like, you know, my head hurts. How's my sleep been? What am I eating? Who am I surrounding myself with? Like the body lets us know when something feels good or doesn't, but we have to start feeling the body to know actually what's working, what's not working. Because mm-hmm. the more stressed we are, there was something I read, I forget who it was, but like stress actually eats away at our ability to be compassionate for ourselves and for others. So we can't even really, if we're stuck more in the limbic response, which is like, you know, our survival brain. And as humans, we're like, we have this negativity bias. A lot of us are kind of stuck there. And even like in consciousness too, but when it comes to like the prefrontal cortex and like executive functioning or compassion or, you know, the benefits of meditation, like the things we reach when we like sit with ourselves and feel, like these things don't come if we're not stopping and feeling.
Mm-hmm.
If we just stay in this like autopilot stress mode, then we won't get the sleep we need, then we aren't going to be, you know, eating nutritious foods. And
mm-hmm.
I don't know, it's all, I hope that
makes sense. it's definitely all wrapped up in yeah, I think like learning the language of the body without the judgment, that's mm-hmm. such a huge component to wellness in general. Because it's like, I think for myself, just like re-experiencing like old things and being like, oh, like I haven't completely like understood like the origins of experience tied to the body and what my response is and like what's triggering this response. And I can do it completely independent of circumstance, because as we are all like malleable and we can remember and live in the past and bring these sensations back at a moment's notice, and a lot of the times being hijacked by our senses and living something that is not a threat in this very moment. But I think when we become aware of like what the story is that we're tied, that is tied to this sensation, that we can kind of have power over it in a sense where we're just not condemning ourselves and kicking it down the road for another 10, 15 years.
Yeah, like brushing it under the rug.
Yeah, it's like constantly like coming back to massage this experience and hopefully like compassionately like let it leave our lives so we don't get attack ourselves by these memories and whatnot. But
yeah. I think when it comes to the body, like there's so much shame.
Oh, my
there's
God.
There's so much shame. And
oh,
it's like,
my God.
And so that's also another reason that people don't connect, because they yeah. just like they use words like ugly, bad, you know, the body is so complex, and I mean, it's a fucking miracle. Like, mm-hmm. honestly, it's just one of these things that there is so much shame, and that shame forebodes joy. Like that's something Brené Brown says, is like where there's shame, there's this foreboding of joy. Like there's no mm-hmm. space, because we've already we've already labeled the body as bad. So I'm just going to not connect with it.
Mm-hmm.
But in, what is it? Sonia Renee Taylor, who's incredible. She wrote The Body Is Not an Apology. There's a line in there that says there's no wrong way to have a body. And like, I'm just like, yes, like
mm-hmm.
there's no wrong way to have a body. Like we have it. This is our closest companion in life.
Mm-hmm.
And why not listen to it? It has so much to tell us.
Yeah. It's so many things to tell us. And something like this topic, like I was thinking, or not thinking, I was driving around the other day and I saw like a adult bookstore, and it was called Guilty Pleasure. And I was like, holy shit, what a mind fuck. Guilty Pleasure. And I was like, had to like refer back to like my own experience with pleasure and shame and guilt and wrapped up into me experiencing pleasure and not allowing myself to fully experience pleasure and kind of monitor myself. And it's like, oh, that's too much. That's too much pleasure. Mm-hmm. Like you can't mm-hmm. like, and,
it's like, no,
and catching,
you need to be in pain all the time.
And catching myself in moments where it's like, where like I should be experiencing more pleasure and release, but I'm like holding back in a sense. And,
yeah.
and, like just like how we're programmed to feel shameful and how we're mm-hmm. programmed to feel guilty and what is the exact work that needs to be done to allow. Cause it's like, I can tell myself like, yeah, Aaron, like have fun and enjoy yourself and experience the pleasure without like fear of like being in danger or anything else. But then it's like
then
the
you
body
put it into practice.
Yeah. But then like the body will come up and try to like, mm-hmm. be Captain Save-A-Ho like to myself and like I'll save you like I'll make you disconnect and I'm like I don't want to disconnect right now I want to be more connected in this moment and I feel the body come in and try to like save me from like this pleasure mm-hmm. that I have now or at least grew up perceiving as being dangerous mm-hmm. and so that's kind of like where I'm like starting to recognize like the programming but then like how it's affected my own life and allowing abundance to flow towards me or mm-hmm. allowing myself to experience pleasure. But yeah, how have you, cause when I see you on like Instagram and just in person, you express your physicality, like it's full liberation.
Aww. And it's I'm happy to hear
yeah,
that.
No, most definitely. And it's definitely like a shining, like seeing you, like crawl around or be naked somewhere and just really be in love with yourself physically and spiritually, mentally and all of that. And the full self-acceptance is something that I felt like since day one, like being with you and at any time that we're hanging out, I'm just like, oh, cool. It's like, not that I'm the type of guy that's going to like just get naked and run around. Like that's not my bag. But if I were, you had been like, oh, he's actually like, he's growing and this is beautiful. But where did that, have you always been like that?
He's
like,
a big boy now.
He's a big boy now. He's not afraid. But yeah, where does that come from? And is that something that you have to constantly come back to remind yourself of like your freedom and autonomy?
I think so. A couple things. I mean, I grew up watching my mom dance in the living room, like free dance. And that happened for a few years. And it was something I just looked at her and was like, that's freedom. And then it stopped because she had multiple back surgeries after having 4 kids in 4.5 years. She's had neck issues. She's been in car accidents and now she can't walk without a cane. And so it was like something like that freedom. I saw that and I saw how short lived it was, but I saw how good it felt for not only her, but also me, and was like, that's been a big driving force for me. But of course, like growing up, like, you know, there's bullying. I was bullied for several years in elementary school and junior high. But I still put myself out there and like, I don't know. I think a lot of it is innate, but it is something that I have to work at because I've been in so many situations in life where I'm the only person dancing to the music in the room. And like, I remember I used to think like, well, I don't get it. Like, why isn't everyone dancing? And it used to piss me off. And then I was like, no, like this is the sunshine. Like this is me going in, making sure people know it's safe, that they can dance too, that they'll feel good, that, you know, nothing bad's going to happen. And like, it's just so nice to dance together. It's so powerful. And there's a reason like so many indigenous tribes have been dancing for the sun, the moon, the seasons, each other, death, life, like it's magical. And so now I just, at that point, that was really when I moved, I guess, like I moved to Tel Aviv when I was 24. I think the couple years before that, going out in LA a lot, it was like, felt really good. And then when I moved to Tel Aviv, it was like, you know, no one knew me. I just went into the clubs by myself, tore up the floor, and like, and just there more people dance too, like Europe and the Middle East and a lot of places besides the States, people like are a little more open and liberated, which is no surprise. So yeah, but it's, and I tell, like, honestly, before I go to bed every night, I was in a really long-term relationship and that ended like terribly, but was so necessary for my rebirth and for this, like, and truly loving myself, because I always thought I did, but I realized it was very attached. Like the way that I loved myself was very attached to a lot of other conditions in my life. And then it was just like, no, like I go to bed now every night and I like hold myself and say, I love you. You're amazing. Like, keep at it. Like, I love you. You're amazing. Keep at it. And like, actually touch, like touch is powerful and not needing that from somebody else. And so that's been helping me a lot. Like this last year and a half of just like holding myself and being with myself and saying, I love you to myself. And not looking at myself in the mirror. I mean, you could do that if you want, but just like being in the moment, you know? And so that helps me a lot these days.
Yeah. That definitely does help. And I guess practice is something that's always, always evolving. But then whenever we come back, it's just like, oh my God, why did I ever leave? Like those types of things, like placing my hand over my heart, like in bed, just in bed before I go to sleep and just breathing into my heart space and just saying that I love myself, like that is so powerful and it like reverberates like throughout the day. And it's just like, oh, I can always just come back to this place. Like this is home. This is the truth. This is like the absolute truth outside of circumstances is this connection to self. And it's, I guess like the layers just like constantly become like get shedded. And it's like, I'm ready for like the next, I guess like real like deep connection, like whether it's through psychedelics or through a yoga class or whatever it is, like I can tell that there's like a layer that's like ready to just completely shed away and push myself into a new arena. For yourself, do you recognize like the signs that it's time for a change?
Yeah, I guess. I just feel like I'm always evolving, and that's often in the past created a lot of like anxiety for me because I would question like, you know, is this right? Is this wrong? Like, am I, you know, am I bailing? Am I, you know, overcommitting? Am I undercommitting? Am I over delivering, under delivering, you know, all these things. And now I just have a little bit more faith in the work that I do. And have more patience. And if I'm bored, like that's why I have the walking club, the boardwalk, because I think boredom is really important. When you realize you like are lacking interest in something you're doing in your life, like in that moment, in that mindfulness, because you're paying attention on purpose to what's happening right now, like you can make a choice to change that. Like, so.
Yeah, I don't know if this guy's like... He has like a weed whacker thing.
He's about to come whack us.
It's like, I don't even think it, like, I don't think it's working. Or it's kind of working.
It's like a chainsaw.
Yeah, yeah, but it's like, it's not like, it's not like gas. So it's kind of just like moderately annoying. All right, there he goes. But he's probably going to jump back into it in the next. He's like cutting the grass. I'm like, wait, you don't need to do that? Like, why are you doing that right now? But yeah, like, I think the thing that I think Westerners like, or just people in general, just like devalue is the power of choice and realizing that we have so much like power to shift our reality and just to take a step to the right and dodge oncoming conflicts in with self. But just like how actions can compile and turn into a brand new experience. And it's just like, yo, I'm like living in a completely different reality. It's like, these are different color glasses that I'm wearing now. And I think that's something that I latch on to when it comes to thinking about practice for a lifetime of constantly evolving, but constantly investing in the practices and onboarding new practices that are going to allow me and support me throughout this journey to become that person that I'm not quite yet. He's still there, like he's in there, but allow that person or allow that energy to emerge from my body. And whether that's through physicality or mental practice or both or ceremony of some sorts, it's like, yo, like there's another experience to be had on this plane. And it's going to surprise the shit out of me once I like reach that place, but it's enjoying the journey onto that. Cause it's like onboarding, like, oh, like I've tried Tai Chi before. I'm like, ooh, like that shit will open me the fuck up. Like I know it, but it's the onboarding process of different practices. Sometimes it's like you just get stoked and you're like, oh my God, like I want to do yoga every single day and I'm going to be a yogi. But then like other ones, like it takes a little bit. And mm-hmm. and just knowing that we have like a buffet of all of these different modalities that we can apply at their own pace. Like some of them are going to take the lead and be the kid in middle school that always has to be in first place. Mm-hmm. And then you can kind of just kick it back or whatever and stay at your own pace and talk to your friends. But then there's going to be a point where it's like, oh, like this like little tiny investment that I've been making over the last 6 months in this boardwalk mm-hmm. or whatever the thing is, mm-hmm. has a quantifiable effect on my happiness, on my health, and I want to do more of it. And it yes. comes from a genuine place. And that's something that I wish everyone could experience, is just like investing a little bit of time, whether it's in the movement or whether it's in the breath work, or whether it's in the Tai Chi or tarot or whatever it is, mm-hmm. and just allow it to do its magic, but don't place these like high expectations on yourself. It's just like, just do it to enjoy it and then have some consistency with it. With anything, yeah. you're going to see the quantifiable effect in your life. And then it's like, do I want more of this or no?
Yeah. And like you were saying, the onboarding, like that's super important. Also offboarding, like giving ourselves time to grieve, you know, whatever it is. Yeah. Maybe you were doing yoga for 5 years and it's not enough for you anymore. And you want to go, you know, take hip hop classes or, you know, play an instrument or whatever it is. Like, give yourself time to grieve that chapter. It doesn't mean it's over and you can't come back to it, but like you're growing and evolving and saying yes to change, mm-hmm. which is liberating in itself, and recognizing that where there's death, there's space for new life. And, mm-hmm. and that's why maybe I can pull a card from the deck.
Yeah, please. So can you explain this, since this is a strictly audio podcast for the time being?
Yeah. So this is called the Transverse Deck. It was created by Michelle Cassandra Johnson, who's a local yoga teacher, social activist. She wrote the book Skill in Action, which is a yoga handbook, and also Finding Refuge. She created these cards. It's called the Deck for Grieving because grieving is a very normal part of life because, you know, everything is born, everything dies, everything changes. So how can we make that, like we were talking about, more of a natural part of our growth? And so it's just these beautiful cards that are like little photographs, and then each card has a word on it and then a corresponding little prompt and a mantra. So I'm gonna put the cards out and have Aaron pick one.
Yay. It's wild. Like on the topic of grieving, I came up with like a creative, I like just coming up with like word plays and stuff like that, because it just, if you get one that just like aligns, it's just like, oh yes, that makes so much sense. Like whether it's an acronym or just something clever. But I came up with one called Death Plants a New Seed Within. It was a clunky acronym. It was like DPSANW, and it's like it doesn't have like a flow. But like that just
death plants a seed within.
Death plants a seed within, like, is one. I had like another one with that same like wordplay, and but it just like hits, because it does. It's like once you experience death, it's like, oh, like there's like you're still there,
yeah.
But you're not the same. Like whether that pain, it still hurts, but I don't know. There's much, much more life on the outside. And it's like you can reflect on like the wisdom and the mission of the person that had passed, or scenario that had come to a close. And it's like, oh, you get to live out the lesson.
Absolutely. All
right, so I'm picking out a transverse card. Let's see where we land. Metamorphosis.
It looks like it's Michelle's hand holding a feather over some rocks.
Looks like
in
my
the
mom's hands.
Oh, beautiful.
But
metamorphosis.
But we were just talking about like, how do you know like when it's time to make
time
a change?
To break out.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
When it's, because yeah, that's the other thing. I just made a change in my life, like a conscious change of like closing one door. Realizing that like I might not see the new opportunities, the new doors, until I close that door. And
yeah.
That's just like what we're talking about. Okay. Metamorphosis, page 31. So we've got, here we go. Grief is a full body experience of transformation. We cocoon and at some point we emerge, but there are many stages between. If we don't allow for the metamorphosis that can come from feeling all of the emotions and sensations related to grief, more pain ensues. Ask for the growth that can come from loss. Ask to fully emerge. Where is transformation happening for you now? And the mantra is, I commit to moving through so that I can experience the transformation that is asking to be felt and sensed. I'm ready to fully emerge. I think that's your sign.
I think so too.
That's all of our signs. Keep emerging.
Yeah, no, there's definitely like major transformations like happening, and it's, I think it's just known through like experiencing, because it's just like the types of people that I'm around now and just the way that I'm communicating with people. And obviously, like, there's still tons of room to grow, but just finding myself in a place of like speaking out more and just being like, oh, like I just need to be clear. how difficult is it just to say what I mean and mean what I say and not fear, like, is it going to be taken the wrong way? It's like, as long as it's honest and it's truthful and it's how I feel, like, I think being okay with whatever comes of that is a very reasonable ask for self. I think like catching myself in the moment, myself's like the two me's, but just catch, like, seeing it in real time. Like, I had a friend, I was just talking today, I was talking about it earlier, where it was just like, he was like, oh, like, he asked me, it's like, oh, like, what's the best form of like communication? Like, because I said I was going to do something and then I completely spaced out on it, and he kind of confronted me about it. But in the past, I would have probably been like defensive and been like, who do you think you are? Like, that type of situation. And I was just like, oh yeah, like, I just need to be able to like put it in my calendar and whatnot. And then like, I saw that I had spaced on the message, and I just texted him. I was like, yo, that was my bad, like, type of situation, instead of like creating like some offshoot narrative and turn into a like a energetic dispute and hold resentment. It was just like, oh no, like, this is what it is, instead of like adding some extra fluff on top of it that has nothing to do. And that's something, a defense mechanism that I felt like I would fall into very easily in the past, of like any sort of tension, it's like automatically like go to war. And it's like Navy SEALs deploy.
Yeah. That's just the way in which so many people live, and like the media feeds us this short fuse, right? Like, it's all about reaction, and instead it's like, where are the active responses and solutions? It's like it's all about the reaction.
God. Yeah. And blame, and
it's hard. Like, I used to lie all the time, and I think that's also why I was very drawn to the practice of yoga, because I was a big
liar.
You
just lied with a big old smile on your face?
I used to lie all the time. I used to steal. I used to cheat. I used to lie. And it was like, yeah, and it ate away at me. And I felt called to just like, I needed ethical principles to like kind of hold me to it. And that's like a huge part of why yoga is the foundation of what I do, even though, like, you know, I teach dance, I teach embodiment, I teach meditation, I do a lot of different things. I still do some business consulting, but like the foundation of my practice are the ethical principles that like drive my action, right? To check in, like, am I being truthful? Like, am I being kind and loving? Am I, you know, hoarding? Am I generous? Like, what, checking in. And yeah, if it's, it feels so much better to be truthful. It's so, like, the white lies are still lying. Like, when you exaggerate about things, like, people do that all the time. It's like, it becomes a lie. It's not, why can't we be real? Not every moment. I mean, depending on how you look at it, every moment can be extraordinary, but it's a gift. It's truly a gift, but I think it just becomes this, like, I need to up. What is it? Upping? Up one? Or
one up?
One up. Sorry, I lived abroad for so long. I'm so behind on everything. I'm like, I don't even know.
What's this?
What is up? One-ing? One up?
it's a performance. Everything's a performance, and it can't just be simple and bland and without salt and seasoning. Mm-hmm. Like it has to have some kick to it. It's got to be exciting. It's got to be revolutionary. It's got to shift culture, mm-hmm. and all that kind of stuff. It can't just be like simple or what it is. And it's,
but in my opinion, like shifting some of these, you know, shifting culture comes down to like this, like consciousness raising, right? Like a raising consciousness of, like, it comes down to these moments where we sit with ourselves or we have conversations like this. And then maybe it leads to something that's attention grabbing and actually changing things. But like,
So
it's like starting with that, it ends up being kind of aimless and.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You got to get to the root before you can start thinking about like the treetop, the canopy treehouse, like with, oh, I want a jacuzzi in the treehouse. And it's just mm-hmm. like, do these roots go far enough into the earth to like create a sturdy foundation for the tree in the first place? Mm-hmm. And we're just like projecting way off into the distance instead of just keeping things super simple.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So are you going to pull a card?
Yeah, I'll pull one too. Sure. Okay. Let's see. Earth. Beautiful tree. Okay. Earth is page. I have a little friend.
Yeah, a little green guy.
Mic, so cute. Earth is page 13. All right. Ooh, this is an invitation for all of us. Feel your feet on the ground. From wherever you are, standing, sitting, feeling, feel your feet on the ground. Take a deep breath in and feel your feet. The ground is always there, even when you cannot locate it or feel it. What practice or ritual will help me to feel grounded and centered? And the mantra is, I feel my feet on the ground. I feel my connection with the earth. I am grounded, centered, holy, and whole.
Amen.
Mm.
I definitely closed my eyes for that one.
Yeah.
And just like conceptualizing. I was like, oh yeah, like the ground is there. And like, what is the connection to the ground? Because I feel like it has to be conscious. Like life comes from it.
Mm.
Right?
That's why I love crawling so much.
Yeah.
Because we're just being belly down on the earth. It's mm-hmm. like this, getting to feel it, how it informs our biomechanics
mm-hmm.
and how we can interact with it
mm-hmm.
and participate with it. I think that it also helps my embodiment practice too, like when I'm not feeling grounded, something like this, of just like feeling my body on the ground.
Mm-hmm.
I am grounded. It's like, okay.
Yeah. What are some of like easy things that people can do to feel more embodied as far as a movement practice that we can do at home or
outside walking? Go for a walk. Walking changed my life. It literally makes me feel like a superhero.
Mm-hmm. You're like the main character.
I'm like
you're the main character for sure.
It's so good. It's full body. It's full body, multi-sensory, and you get to be outside or inside. I mean, you're still moving, but it gives the brain a little something to do besides the habitual movements of like racing from A to B or just going straight to your car. But like inserting walking wherever you can, like mm-hmm. parking far away from the grocery store if you live in a car dominant city so that you have further to walk. Taking your calls or meetings on a walk, inviting a friend out for a walk, or mm-hmm. What I do before I drive home from work or wherever I am, I'll like walk back to my car, drop my things off, walk around the block or do something before I just like sit down, because mm-hmm. it just brings me back.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Walking definitely, like there's like a momentum as far as making it a consistent thing, because I feel like I dropped out of the consistency, but I was walking like every single evening, even like when I went to like Oaxaca, or not Oaxaca, Mexico City, I was just walking every single day because that's what we do in cities, is just like walk. And I dropped like,
so fun.
I dropped like 6 pounds in like, like 9 days because I was walking.
That's what I'm saying. Walking is amazing.
Walking's the best cardio. Like people think it's like running and I'm going to lose a lot of weight. It's like consistently walking. If you walked 3 miles a day, like for 3 weeks, like you would
feel better, look better.
Yeah.
And be a superhero.
No, it's the truth. But like the evening walk, so like eating, like after eating dinner and then just like going out on a stroll and just like, I don't know, there's something about it that just, it makes me feel more in tune with like the city, and it makes me feel more in tune with people. And it just, it's like,
and
yo,
the
it's
trees,
like
trees and the birds, yeah, and yeah, the everything around.
Yeah. You become like, you realize you're a part of like the ecosystem, and you're like, oh, like, I guess stress kind of melts away because it's like you're not just cooped up and you're hyper focusing on certain things. Like you can allow thoughts to come and go, and it's rare that you're holding on to anger while you're out walking, because there's just so many things that perspective widens. So it's like it's hard to narrow in on something and be resentful when you're just letting things flow.
Yeah. Everything you just said. I mean, it's an opportunity to process as well. Like you were saying, the thoughts flickering in and out. This processing is so important. I mean, most of our creativity happens while we sleep, but it's a similar processing while walking, like allowing the brain to just kind of like flicker here and there, be more in the flow. If you find that you like have a writer's block or creative block, like get up and go for a walk. It helps. Like there's a lot of science that shows that too.
Yeah, I was listening to a podcast. Damn, it's killing me to remember. It was the Mark Gross podcast, but he had a guest on, and she was talking about how if we're feeling like that, like a fight or flight response, the best thing that we can do is get into the body and move. Like, whether it's going on a run or doing some jumping jacks, but the energy is so hyper concentrated in one location that it needs to be dispersed, and movement is the way that we disperse the energy throughout the body. And rarely are you going to do some exercise and then come back and still feel the same way that you did before, where it felt suffocating and like, oh my gosh, like I want to avoid this at all costs. But we have power over that, those situations in our lives. And it's literally like, how do we get awareness just to make that decision and be like, ah, I can do this and go do it and close that distance between like the thought and the doing, and then come back and be in a completely like new space and still have to process things, but it's not as unbearable as it once was. And that's a gift that we can always give ourselves.
Yep. I love walking.
What else do you want to talk about? What's on the mind these days, or what do you find yourself processing or coming back to?
I mean, I mentioned faith earlier, but like coming back to trusting the process, trusting the process of like things metamorphosizing at the right time, and like finding that balance between effort and ease of like, how much do I have to push this? How much of it is just going to come because of the relationships that I'm building and the people that I'm surrounding myself with and synchronicity? So kind of dancing between that, because I'm focusing a lot on massage therapy school, but I'm also seeing new clients and, finding a balance and trusting that like it's all going to work out, and remembering that it's never too late to do what you love either. I think that's been a big thing for me, is like, it's okay to be at my own pace. There's space for me. There's space for you. There's space for all of us to do what we want to do, especially when we're doing good and when we're helping people.
Especially. So. Yeah. The trust, that's always going to be the thing. And I'm like, how am I going to get like shake out of this one? Like, how am I going to shake out of this bind or whatnot? And for whatever reason, it always happens, but there becomes an increasingly more embodied feeling of trust no matter what the circumstances.
Yeah. And I guess I feel like I have to say that there are times, especially for menstruating people, where it's a little bit harder to trust the thoughts. Like, I know that some of my female identifying friends and like menstruating friends are always just like, okay, don't trust the thoughts today, you know, like just having like having a practice, whether it's meditation or journaling or things that you do or walking, like keeping it simple and doing it daily and just having something that you can come back to and as that reference point of like, okay, how am I feeling today? Can I trust my thoughts? Can I trust my body? Just based on patterns, right? Like if we practice awareness and we're doing these things, coming back to walking, coming back to dance, coming back to hanging out around people that inspire us, reading, writing, like those things provide kind of like a baseline of well-being. And I think when things start to like teeter away from that, like that's when we have to question like, can I trust this? Or do I just like breathe in this moment, not trust these thoughts, let them pass and like stay focused on what I'm doing and and the process that I'm in, the process of becoming.
Yeah. Process of becoming. Yeah. I do appreciate like our practices being like the foundation. 'Cause it's like when we are consistent with our practice, it's like we can always, we have more firm footing. And when something like a toxic thought or an agent of a disguised agent of energy within our lives, and it's like that's like the alarms kind of go off, it's like, yo, that's not you. It's like our practice is like our friend that we can count on and that like keep showing up for us and that keep showing sides of us that maybe we didn't know. So when something new comes in, it's just like, I don't know. Like, I can go back to the practice. I can go back to writing and flesh it out. And, and yeah, to have the systems of to support ourselves is like the biggest gift that we can give ourselves. 'Cause I don't know. We feel like less alone too. It's like you have friends, but it's like you are your friend. And your practices are your friends.
First and foremost, hopefully. And that's, and also like that love, like cultivating that self love is so important because that's going to reflect in the way that you treat and love other people too. But, yeah. What about, what's up with you and like, where's your metamorphosis leading you at the moment? Is it clear or are you kind of like in the middle of it where it's,
I'm definitely in the middle of it. Yeah. It's like something's about to drop and I'm just like, all right, like when is it going to drop? I'm like ready. I'm definitely ready for it, but just things are just speeding up and it's like, there's a lot going on at the same time. And it's like all of the things that I've asked for, not all of them, like there's some like major things that are missing amongst all of like the beautiful things. I'm like, okay, like where am I going to be sustained in this one specific area when everything around it is beautiful, but you know how much better it would be if this one component was addressed within this. But not coming from like a place of lack. It's just like, yo, it's like, it'd just be dope. Like, let's fucking go. Like, let's get everything that I want. Not just the, like, I've been operating from a sense of purpose and passion and communicating with like working with friends and like deepening relationships on the podcast and everything is coming together like beautifully. And it's like, but continuing this path of like not like biting the bullet and doing things for financial reasons to support myself and whatnot. It's like, I've been very like rebellious and being like, I'm going to do it like this way. And I'm going to be out here solo. And I'm going to like, I'm going to do what it takes just to like pay the rent and do all these things. But then, like, when it kind of runs out to the end and it's, like seeing the economy just be completely just, like, lopsided and gutted completely, like, gutted. And I'm extremely privileged and grateful. It's, like, I know there's people, like, struggling. It's, like, I'm, like, blessed. But just seeing how I can be affected as well and I'm not immune to the struggles that anybody else is dealing with, whether that's like being able to pay bills on time and having debt and all those types of things. And it's like, where does the time and energy that I've invested in myself and the practice and in others come back to support me? Mm-hmm. And that's where like the receiving part of it we were talking about offline is like, yeah, I'm giving. And I feel like I'm open to receive. Like I constantly, it's like, okay, open your heart. You're closed off. Like it's always a constant reevaluating and creating the space of opening and letting go of things that aren't serving me. But then there comes a point where I'm like, I'm looking at like my wristwatch. I'm like, yo, like, come on, like, let's go. Like, this train is about to fucking leave. Like where and how am I going to be reciprocated? That's kind of like where the mind goes. And then it's like constantly coming back to the gratitude practice and being like, yo, like it's a fucking lie, but also not wanting to be one of those like woo woo aversive from real shit. Like, mm-hmm. I'm practical. like I don't go on like spending sprees and be like, oh, it'll take care of itself. Like type of thing. It's like, I like to be like on top of my shit, but yeah, I think it's just like, wanting to receive the fullness of what I'm giving.
Hmm. It's coming for you.
Oh yeah. It's definitely coming. I have no fucking doubts, but there's a point where I was like, let's go.
Maybe there is a door that you have to close that you're not aware of yet.
Yeah, it's possible. I'm definitely, in the Motel 6 running down, like closing all these damn doors.
Oh man.
Maybe a Marriott, not a Motel 6.
A Marriott.
Yeah, I'm more of a Hyatt type of dude. I'm a Hyatt. I'm at the Regency.
Oh man, yeah. It's that support. It's I hosted a walking event recently, and we had a sharing circle at the beginning. I was asking everyone what they're celebrating today, and one of the people that joined was like, "I'm celebrating supporting people that support people," and I'm like, that it was just like, it made me cry. I'm like, yeah. That's so beautiful, because there's so many people in this world who work so hard and like hurt their bodies physically to just help people and be there for people. Like working at the physical therapy clinic, it was all rehab, you know, and just a lot of these people are like caregivers for 12 hours a day, like these small, you know, smaller petite people, like carrying, moving people around. Just thinking about, especially during the pandemic, all of these like first responders and now teachers. I mean, like these jobs are so important. What we're doing is so important, and it never feels like financially like we're rewarded what we should be. And yeah, like working around that and trying to reframe that and also change that. I mean, that's like a big, it's a lot of education. Like I think it's still going to take a lot of work until people put more value into the work that we're doing.
Yeah. And I can envision, like, I know what I need. Mm-hmm. I've experienced it in like little instances where it's like, oh, like that's not so difficult. Like in finding advocates within companies, within communities that have like people not like recognizing like their own power and influence, to just send an email. It's like, I have like this creative deck that has all of my prices mapped out. Like I've worked with the biggest ad agencies in the world, like no cap, like for real. And it's just like, yo, like all I need is for you to send this to your HR department type of thing. And it's just like, and obviously I'm not out here like condemning people, but for people to connect the dots, because I can connect the dots for others and support others in ways that help them move things forward. And whether that's offering my perspective or making an introduction or whatever, and just needing more help in that space of just like, yo, like I know plenty of people that have like the power and the opportunity just to share like what I have to offer, and just to provide opportunity to sit down with people. Because as soon as I sit down with someone, it's like, oh, this is a real ass dude. He's pretty dope. like, where can we sign up? And I'm just like, I'm like, if I get you one-on-one, like, it's over. Like, we're doing something together. Like, we're going to create something dope together.
Yeah.
And wanting to live fully in that purpose. And like I said before, it's like, this month has been wild, just doing like the most, like, projects and new things, working with new people. And it's amazing. But just navigating this solo entrepreneurial lifestyle and like the stresses that come with not feeling supported.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's where the somatic restorative yoga practice.
Yep.
comes in to save the day.
Yeah, most definitely.
Support. It's like that, experiencing support in that way just somehow translates into putting it out there. Mm-hmm. You know, and like manifesting it in other ways. And
for sure.
And what I see often is that people just don't know what it feels like to be supported. Mm-hmm. First of all, especially in our country. It's like, I lived in Germany for almost 10 years and the economy and the government there is totally different. You feel supported in every way.
Mm-hmm.
And like, coming back here was a reverse culture shock, just talking to people and realizing how unsupported everyone feels. Because it's our system. And like, mm-hmm. that, like, because of that, people fear slowing down. People fear getting support or asking for support or even figuring out what the hell they want.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's so rare that, you know, the question was turned to us of like, what do you want?
Mm-hmm.
What do you actually want? And you can do that and you can have that.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a lot of shedding layers, like you mentioned earlier, and listening in, surrounding yourself with people who are asking questions and critically thinking about things.
Yeah, that part. Mm-hmm. Like, I think that's a telltale sign of just like teamwork and genuine mm-hmm. care for another, is like being curious about like what someone's process is. Or I think you can come together and like create solutions to trivial matters.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm always down to collaborate. I love collaborating with people. I find it difficult though, because I feel like not a lot of people are either good at communicating, because mm-hmm. that's huge in any sort of relationship, is like clear and open communication and managing expectations. And then, like the trust.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we talked a lot about trust earlier, of like, is this person, like, why is this person supporting me? Why are they showing up? Like, is it only like, is, you know, what's their ulterior motive? But it's like, no, some people really just want to collaborate and like make something bigger
mm-hmm.
and more impactful. And
yeah. You know. Yeah. The follow through part of it too. Mm-hmm. It's just like, I think I had it backwards when I was like young. It was just like, I'd have like the vision and the idea and try to gain consensus. I'd be like, hey, come on, let's mm-hmm. do this. And then it turned into me pushing for something that somebody wasn't genuinely like passionate about, and me trying to like will them across like the finish line instead of just like getting to do the thing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, go do the thing, Aaron, if you really want it. Don't try mm-hmm. to like convince your friends and people around you to be passionate about something that you've identified as something that you want to do.
Yeah.
So you have to go do that thing first. And I think along that path, you'll find other people that are just as passionate about it. And you build a bridge from one another as you both are moving on in the same direction in different lanes.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's like, okay, like, let's, it's kind of like those, like,
let's just make a wider,
like, you know,
street,
remember like movie Speed, when I think they were like on like there was like a bus that had like a bomb on it, and they're like on the freeway and they have to like get people like off the bus or something. And it's like, how do you get off of like a moving bus on the freeway? And it's like, oh, we got to like offload everybody, and you got to like jump on like across cars or some shit. But that's what it is. It's just less dangerous though.
Yeah. I mean, something I ask myself too is like, if I have an idea, because I'm such an ideas person. It's
yeah,
like,
same.
If I have an idea, I'm like, this would be great. Then I'm just like, well, what, like, why? Why do I want to do this? It's like coming back to the purpose, because if something is purpose driven, it will be enjoyable, and it will like, it will serve you.
Mm-hmm.
And then I ask like, well, what am I waiting for? Like, why am I not putting this in motion?
Mm-hmm.
Is there a missing piece, or, you know, am I actually just not that interested in it, or, you know, whatever it might be.
Yeah, I don't have the right equipment.
I know. Well, even starting, because I just started a podcast and I kept just like putting it off. And I listened to some of your 100th episode when you were talking about like it was something you wanted to do for a long time and then you just like didn't do it. And then finally you did it.
Mm-hmm.
And like same with you. I remember asking you like, okay, well, what program do you use? And can you give me some tips? And you're like, and you told me Anchor FM and you're like, you just do it. Like, this is like what you need, but you just have to do it.
Yeah.
You know? And it's true. You just have to do it and you don't have to know how it's going to end up. There's no way of knowing, you know?
Mm-mm. Yeah. It's going to be what it's going to be. And then you start like, I don't know. It's like you have a vision in your head of what you want it to be. And it's usually like a culmination of all the other podcasts or things that you enjoy. And you're like, oh, I want to be like that. And then you do it and then it sounds nothing like that. But then you start like finding things that you enjoy about yours. And then you just start investing into that. And then it becomes its own thing and mm-hmm. the furthest thing away from the things that you had once compared yourself to. And then you're just like, all right, well, fuck it. Like, this is how I do things over here. And then start saying yes to self. But yeah, before we finish, like, you want to give a plug to your podcast and what it's about?
Yeah. So The Boardwalk, it started as a remote leisurely walking club, which still happens like every other month or so. And I created the podcast because I thought in those months in between where I'm not hosting the more intimate groups, I want to have a resource for people that they can turn to inspire them to move more, feel better, and plug into community. So I have some like solo episodes and there are walking meditations and I've started to interview people. That's exciting. Mostly that are in the community here because walking in this community has allowed me to like meet a lot of people serendipitously and it's been really, really fun. So yeah. And you could check that out and it's great. We have a walking group going right now. It's super inspiring and it's a nice foundation for all the other movement and mind body centering. Oh, you have a friend too. Or did it go to you?
Yeah, when we say friend, it means this little microscopic, like not microscopic because I could see it with my eyes, but it's like a little green bug that's just chilling on the microphones.
It like jumped over to your mic.
Yeah.
But yeah, even with The Boardwalk, like I know it's going to be something big. Like I know it's mm-hmm. I know it's becoming. It's mm-hmm. and I'm just letting it be what it is and it's fun and I'm deepening my, you know, yoga and dance. And I've got like a few fun dance events coming up. So you can follow me on Instagram, Sunny Love Yoga. I'll put the stuff there, but it'll be fun. Through Seeking Space and at a farm in Hood River. It's just good stuff. Nice. Good times.
I love the name Boardwalk too. It's great.
I love it too.
It's one of those things when you like land on it, similar to what I was saying before. It's like once you find like a name and you're just like, yeah, I could fuck with that for a long, long time and allow it to evolve into what it needs to evolve into and be what it needs to be. But when you find like that name, it's just like, oh, okay, I feel good with this.
Yeah. And it works. It works because of, you know, the reason it was started. And it's the bucket hat that I have that says board. It's just a good conversation starter too.
Yeah.
Like an opportunity to check in and be like, am I bored? Like, what am I doing right now?
Yeah.
Am I interested in what I'm doing right now? Do I want to make a change or not? Like, boom, there you go. You're welcome.
That's awesome. Dope. Well, thank you so much for this conversation. I know it's going to continue in many different quadrants over the next many years to come. So I appreciate you and all the work that you're doing in the world. The example that you set for people to, I don't know, just love themselves and to trust themselves and forgive themselves and you are sunshine for sure.
Thanks, Aaron. Yeah. So cool to be here.
Dope. Well, thank you, Sunny. And thank you all for listening to Opening Presence.